Who's ever heard of General William Booth? Yeah, most of us have. Yeah, wonderful man of God. He was a founder of the Salvation Army. And he was unable to attend the Salvation Army's annual convention in 1910. He died in 1912. Everyone at this convention was disappointed because I always look forward to the inspiring messages that William Booth would bring to them all. But William Booth, on this occasion, was old and his health was failing, so he could not go. Therefore, he just sent a telegram. Who remembers what telegrams are? Yes. Therefore, he sent a telegram to be read out to the gathered delegates. So the delegates and the leaders, they sat in anticipation of the wisdom that would surely pour from that telegram. However, they were surprised, and perhaps some were even shocked, that the telegram contained only one word. The old general had simply put into his telegram the word "others." This is on the front page of your newsletter. "Others." That was all he wrote. That was it. That was his entire message for the delegates that day. "Others." And yet, really, when you think about it, it was such a powerful message. Because with that one word message, old General William Booth had urged the gathered people to live their lives focused on others. I got a photograph sent to Rochelle's phone from Jared. I was just telling Jared, my son who lives in London, what I was going to preach about today. And I mentioned this little story that I've just told you. And there's a statue just around the corner from his house of Catherine and William Booth. He took a photo and sent it to us. I didn't have a chance to put it up today. But today, like William Booth, I want to urge you and I want to urge myself to live life intentionally. That's so important, but intentionally focused on others. Let's live to give. Let's live to serve. Let's live to bless. And let's live to share. But who are the others? Who are the others? Well, when you think about it, there are three categories of others. Firstly, there is Almighty God Himself. God is an other to you and to me. He's the most important, significant other to us all here today. God is our Creator, and He has the final say over all of creation. Amen? Then secondly, we are others to each other. I am an other to you, and you are an other to me. And what we have in common is that we are all followers of Jesus Christ. We love God. I'm presuming here. We love God and we're not ashamed of Him. Amen. We love God and we belong to Him. So together we are God's family, along with Christians all around the world. We are born again Christians. So we are a group of others who belong to Jesus. Thirdly, the final group of others are those who do not follow Jesus Christ. Some of these others may have never heard the good news about Jesus Christ. That might shock you. That might surprise you. Because we live here in Australia. We presume everybody in the world has heard about Jesus. But did you know there are millions and millions of people who don't even know that Jesus existed? And that's why we do the pledges that we're doing today. Some people have never really seriously considered following Jesus. Some people may follow other religions. Some people may be atheists. Either way, this group of others are currently lost to God. So there are three kinds of others. Everybody still with me? Really, are you still with me? I know that you are because you're all smiling. Most of you. And how we respond and how we interact with those three groupings of others determines our eternal destiny. It determines what rewards we may or may not receive in eternity. And he determines whether we live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Wow. Can we all say wow? Wow. Could you say backwards? Wow. Amen. In the Bible, we read of an interesting situation where two young brothers, James and John, tried to curry special favor with Jesus. And the Bible says this. James and John, Zebedee's sons. Now, I just want to stop there. There's a great name for a child. Zebedee. That's all I got to say. Moving right along. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to him and said, "Teacher, we have something we want you to do for us. Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right hand and the other at your left." Then when the other 10 disciples heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them to settle things down. And then this is what he said. "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around," he said. "And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads." It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage to sin. Interesting passage of Scripture. Jesus Christ left his glories behind in heaven, and then he came into the world for others. He came to serve, not to be served. And we are his others. Who would like a sip of my water? Too bad. You can have some a little bit later. It's a great story that Jesus just told, or it's a great story in the Scriptures. And within this little story, Jesus is introducing, and this is really important, so tune in. Jesus is introducing a new worldview to his disciples. And Jesus is trying, and he regularly tried, to break into the disciples' thinking with a framework for doing life that had its origins before the world began. In the beginning, there was Almighty God. Listen carefully. God is one, but he's made up of three persons. There is God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And God's dominant personal characteristic is described in the Bible. It states that God is love. Very important, everybody, please listen, so that within Almighty God himself, there is this divine flow of love between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The very nature of God has always been loving others. That's who God is. And so stamped upon heaven and stamped upon all of creation is this same sacred ethos of loving others. Did you know the angels love each other? Absolutely. Did you know the angels love God? Love is stamped on all of creation. And when God created Adam and Eve, he birthed within their beings a capacity to love others. That's the way we were made. For the Bible says that they were made in the image of God. And so Adam loved Eve. Eve loved Adam. And together they loved God. Listen, there was no domestic violence in the Garden of Eden. For love has no room for domestic violence. There was no exploitation. There was no needing to have a break from one another. You go to the end of the Garden of Eden, I'll go to this end. None of that. Adam and Eve were fully satisfied and content because they were loved by the other. And the significant other, Almighty God, met with them in the cool of the evening for friendship, for love. Loving others and caring for others was the ethos of the first relationships in the Garden of Eden. But when Adam and Eve were tricked into sinning, everything changed. We know that. Firstly, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. They didn't want to be with a significant other anymore. And that glorious relationship with God, we know this, was completely broken down, and the wide chasm of sin came between them. Then a little later, their firstborn son killed his brother, Abel, because he was jealous. A new but dark worldview, a new but flawed framework for doing life had now taken hold of humanity. And it's all around us today. And this new dark worldview had its origins in the heart of the fallen angel named Lucifer, who became known as the devil. And so, the ethos of loving others and caring for others was now replaced by the devil's new ethos of me loving myself more than me loving others. The devil's ethos, really, for mankind can be described in four words. Everyone is just into themselves. That was five words, sorry. Everyone is into themselves. Everybody's into themselves. Everybody's into themselves. This new dark framework for doing life now revolved around how I can succeed and how my desires can be gratified. And we constantly hear this framework, demonic framework, echoing daily as people cry out, and you hear this all the time. People cry out, I demand that you respect my feelings and my rights. The cry across the land is, my rights. Just echoing the worldview that the devil brought into the world. And this new worldview has dominated all cultures, and all societies since the fall of man. And the consequences have just been catastrophic. All the terrible things that people do to one another. Human trafficking. How wicked is that? Selfishness, wars, domestic violence, murder, stealing, cheating, exploiting, gossiping, lying has come about because of the prevailing worldview that puts the individual ahead of others. And you know, whether we admit it or not, we're all tainted by this worldview, even after we become Christians. That's why we Christians can still be mean and selfish. Of course, not anybody here at Real Life Church. It's all the other churches. Amen, amen. I'm just joking. We're all tainted. The worldview of myself first is ingrained in all of us. It's ingrained in me. It's really ingrained in Rochelle. I'm just joking around. But what I'm not joking around about is this, is it is ingrained in me, and I can be incredibly selfish sometimes. I can be really selfish. And this dark, all-pervasive worldview was ingrained in these two young boys, or brothers, John and James, James and John, as they sought to manipulate Jesus into giving them special honor ahead of their mates. And that's why their mates got mad at them. They knew what was going on. But Jesus used that opportunity to go head-to-head with this evil, selfish worldview and presented God's way for us to do life. Amen. Remember, Jesus said, whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man, Jesus, has done. He came to serve, not to be, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage to sin. Jesus came for others. The Bible says three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is is love. Love is still a big deal to God. Absolutely. Loving others, living for others, caring for others, sharing with others is the ethos of heaven, and it's the framework. Please listen to this. It's a framework that provides for the best life that you can live, because you were designed originally to love. So let's remember our three categories. Number one, firstly, the significant other, Almighty God. Secondly, other believers. Thirdly, people who are lost to God at this time. And how we respond, remember I said this, how we respond and interact with these three groupings of others determines our eternal destiny. It determines what rewards we may or may not receive in eternity. And it determines whether we live the abundant life that Jesus came to give. Firstly, how we respond to the significant other, Almighty God, determines, listen, this is very important, determines your eternal destiny. It determines whether you go to heaven or whether you're lost to hell forever. Today, listen, and a lot of you understand this, but there's some who don't. Today, God reaches out to restore the chasm between you and Him. And Jesus Christ is the bridge over that chasm so you can cross it and know God. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. When you place your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and when you surrender your will to God, then you become restored to the significant other, Almighty God. Heaven becomes your destiny. I just got to stop. I just got to say this to you. Everybody wants their sins forgiven, but that's halfway to being saved. Let me tell you the other half. Surrender your life to Almighty God. I've had enough of people coming here wanting to be forgiven, but they're not willing to surrender their lives to Almighty God. You've got to surrender your life to God. I'll say it again. You've got to surrender your life to God. Your heart, your will, your ambitions, your relationships. I surrender all to you. It's not about you anymore. It's about the significant other. I surrender to you. That's how you get right with God. You know, sometimes I get sick and tired of having to twist people's arms up their back to keep following Jesus. If you don't want to follow Jesus, see you later. I've had enough. You know, choose this day whom you will serve. You know, seriously. Seriously. I'll be good now. Amen. I'm just telling you how it is, hey. And you know, and have you done this? I'm really not wanting to be rude to anybody. Seriously, sincerely, I don't want to offend anybody. But have you done this? Surrender to God. Are you restored to Almighty God? And if you haven't done that, what is the matter with you? What are you waiting for? An angel to speak to you? No, sorry, you've got David Warwick today. You know, and I'm speaking the word of God to you. Today is the day of salvation. Secondly, how you've got to respond to God. That's number one. He's a significant other. Secondly, how you respond and interact with other followers of Jesus is really, really important. I'll say it again, ladies and gentlemen. It's really, really important. Jesus said this, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, that's probably the hardest part of Christianity. Because I want to smack a few people. You do too. And then the Bible says this, let us not give up meeting together. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, the day when Jesus is coming back again. See, Christianity is not just about you or just about me. It's not. It's about others, us together. Christianity is about us together. It's about us worshiping together. We are His body together. We are a holy nation together. We are living stones together. We are the bride of Christ together. God is restoring His divine others ethos to the church. And God is re-stamping His divine image on His people in Christ Jesus. And this divine image looks like and smells like love and kindness to one another. If you want to honor God, then honor his people. I'll say it again. If you want to honor God, honor his people. Thirdly, how you interact and respond to those others. So we've had the first significant other. He's our first other. The second group was us. Then the third group is how you interact and respond to those others who are lost to God is also very, very important. The Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It says he loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Then Jesus told us this profound parable. It says this, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, this is Jesus speaking, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Wow! Make no mistake about it, God loves the lost. People perhaps that you don't like, people who are different to you, people who have a different worldview to you, who dress differently to you, have a view of the world different to you, God loves them. People of other religions, God loves them. Atheists, God loves them. People who dress, men dressing like women, women dressing like, God loves them. God loves them. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us because he loves us. And these lost people are the others that we must love also. For the sake of the lost, live to give, live to serve, live to bless, live to share. And then in conclusion, I was always pleased when the speaker says in conclusion. Just calm your excitement down. In conclusion, this bit's really, really important. And this is so true. When you focus on others, you unleash two wonderful blessings in your own life. You really do. There is actually something in this for you. Jesus described this first blessing when he said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you want to receive blessings and favor, then give of yourself to others. Be a blessing. Be God's favor to someone else. Indeed, living for others is the primary key to living a God-favored and God-blessed life. That is so true. It is so true. When you love others, you can be sure that love and care will come back to you. When you give, you receive. When you bless, you are blessed. When you comfort others, you yourself will be comforted. When you help others, you become happy. When you sacrifice, you become fulfilled. When you provide for others, you become satisfied. Give and it will come back to you. That's the first blessing. The second blessing that comes from focusing your love on others is later reward in heaven. And this is quite profound, this scripture. It says, for Jesus is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Wow, wow. Faith, listen, faith in Jesus Christ gets you into heaven. But intentionally loving others today leads to great reward tomorrow in heaven. You want reward in heaven? Then look around. Just look around you and help somebody else if you want rewards in heaven. Faith in Jesus gets you into heaven, but he's got rich rewards. And those rich rewards are reserved for those who've been a blessing to others in this life. Absolutely, absolutely. Old General William Booth, he was right. We need to focus on others. You could even say that when you help and care for others, you are really helping and caring for yourself. I just want to finish with this little story. There was an Indian Christian missionary named Sundar Singh. Anybody ever heard of Sundar Singh? I'll just let you, just a backdrop here. We actually had some people come to our community services, these Sikhs come. Remember that, Michelle? And they were from the same village as Sundar Singh. How about that? I can see that scripture, that story, and that's about as good as that story got, but that's true. That's true. Well, he was a Christian missionary. Sundar Singh and a companion, they were traveling through a pass high in the Himalayan mountains, so it was snowy, it was very, very cold. And at one point, they came across a man lying in the snow. Sundar Singh wanted to stop and help the unfortunate man because he was going to die. But his companion refused. He said, "We shall lose our lives if we burden ourselves with him. So farewell, Sundar. I'm out of here." He left. But Sundar Singh would not think of leaving the man to die in the ice and snow. And so as his companion made his farewell, Sundar Singh, with great difficulty, lifted the poor traveler onto his back, and then with great exertion on his part, he bore the man onward, step, slow step, in the snow. But because of the great exertion, gradually the heat from Sundar Singh's body began to warm up the man on his back. And the man revived, so much so that soon both were walking together side by side, keeping each other warm. Eventually, they caught up with Sundar Singh's former companion, but they found him dead, frozen by the cold. Too many Christians go through life like they're dead and frozen, wondering where God's blessing is for them, when all the time, the promises and blessings of God lie in the others around them. I urge you, lift a gift. Let's just go counterculture to this country of ours. Let's just lift a gift. Live to serve. Live to bless. Live to share with others. And you will receive the favor of God upon your life.